99.3 Nigeria Info. It's Daily today. Of course, no. Jimmy is on leave. No, it's me. It's me again. Sharif, yes. Jimmy is on vacation. Okay. Don't be surprised. I'm Sharif Quadri. This is Daily Digest with Jimmy Lisu. And if you're familiar with Daily Digest, you know that every Monday, every Tuesday, it starts on Tuesday. Then we have Dear Bumi on Wednesday. And Thursday is also there. Friday is a bit laid back and all. Yeah, that's basically but it's topical. It's current affairs. It's deep and it's quite interactive as well. So you're welcome to the show. We're streaming live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube right now for the show. Feel free to join us. Now, we're going to continue with our coverage of the coming elections and our conversation around the coming elections. So feel free to join our conversation. For those in Limosho, it's your turn this morning. We interacted with those in Amuwo an hour ago. So let's talk to those in Limosho this morning. But this time, the National Assembly is where our candidate is headed. His name is Salako Adedayo. He represents the YPP, and he's gunning for House of Reps for Limosho constituency. Mr. Adayo, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Sheriff. Good morning.
It's good to have you here.
Awesome.
Let me start again, like I always do, because I like to test the knowledge of the candidate that wants to represent a constituency. Limosho, what's the coverage of Limosho? Limosho is huge.
The coverage, we all know, first of all, that Limosho is the biggest local government in Lagos. Mm-hmm. Limosho has a landmass of about 139 kilometers square meter. Limosho has about six LCDAs, in there. Limosho span has a population of over 2 million, 2 million people. Mm-hmm. Rather, officially, official figure, but I personally feel that it's far more than that. And of course, covering from the far north of it is the Igbe Agodo axis, and the far south would be the end of the Ayobo Ijaw area. And then if we go east of Limosho, we'll be talking of the Ijegun Ijagemo axis, and then they span all through to the Iyano Ekpaja and of course Dokpemu axis. So it's quite large, and we have a whole lot going on in
Limosho.
Yes.
Let's talk about why you are running for House of Representatives. To some people, they would suppose maybe you should have started from the State House of Assembly, if at all you want to be a lawmaker. What's behind your decision?
Well, for me, first of all, I like to kick against that narrative of starting from councillor and all, because it is the political class narrative of you have to go and serve us at that point. You have to be our boy at the local government, as a councillor, you have to be our boy. And then when we decide if you are good enough, then we can elevate you to wherever we want you to be. And so it just doesn't make sense. We quite have quite a number of, maybe not so much, but one or two people who has been in the political sphere and has performed excellently well without even being a councillor before, without being anything in politics before. We've had governors who spring out of the business circle and then go into politics and get there and they do well. So I believe strongly that the Nigerian problem is a document problem. We all know these documents has not favored this entity called Nigeria. And if we want to find a way to solve this problem, we must begin to address it from that document angle. So I don't want to start doing just be selfish. Because if I want to be selfish, I will say, let me go to one particular smaller and then probably make some money, make some name. But I want to address Nigeria's problem.
Yeah.
I am young, but I'm not too young to lead Nigeria. If I want to be the president of this country today, I think I have everything to lead this country to the right place. So, going for the House of Rep, I believe, is where I think is where the root of our problem is, and we should begin to address it from there.
Like I always do, I usually want to establish something so we can have a strong foundation to our conversation.
Absolutely.
That is, do you work? Do you have a job? Or politics is your job?
Well, of course, I have several jobs. I have a business. I have a restaurant that I run. I have a media company that I run. I make money from consulting for productions, in films and all. So,
okay.
I work, and I did say this, that I'm going to do politics. And someone was telling me, someone wanted to come to my restaurant and was saying that you are contesting. I'm coming to a restaurant to eat free food. I said no, I want to do politics, and that business has to be there so that when I'm done with politics, I want to go back to my business. That's it.
Mm. All right. Since you're going for House of Representatives, let's talk national matters then. What's your take on restructuring? What's your understanding of restructuring?
Well, for me, restructuring is everything that Nigeria needs right now. Yesterday, I was just thinking about this. Yesterday, we have three, maybe four people who are at the forefront of the presidential. But let me narrow it down to the three who are like the most talked about, right? And then you can see, I can see people from the tribal, lineage of these people, aligning with them. And so as I yesterday, I was saying to myself that we really, really should actually address this issue. We, as a nation, do not even see ourselves as one. We do not see ourselves as a nation, right? A friend of mine was just making a joke with me when I was coming in here, and then we're like, they go National Assembly, go there, just do your own, come out to this Nigeria, forget Tamu. And I'm like, no, I'm not forgetting this Nigeria. This Nigeria is the reason I want to go to the House of Assembly, House of Rep, rather. So I am going to do everything to make it.
What's your understanding of restructuring?
Yeah,
what does it mean to you?
So for me, restructuring is us coming together to define in clear path how we want to exist, how we want to coexist, how we want to run this nation, how we want to share our resources, how we want to make things work for the future. And until we have that conversation, until we come back to that table and have that conversation about these very, very salient issues, we'll keep having problems in Nigeria.
Let's talk some more. I totally respect your view on restructuring, but let's talk about state police. Do you think Nigeria is ripe for it? Is that the direction that we need to go, state policing? Or it's good that we have one police, federal police?
We should have state police. There's no other way to. I think it is very important for us to have state police. Nobody protects his neighborhood more than the owner of that neighborhood. Nobody. You can't. I'll just say this as an aside. I was saying to someone that I'm so sure of what we've been doing in this election and in the process of this election, so much that I know that I am going to win. And if I don't win, at least I will get a staggering second position. And people are like, they just talk about winning. I was like, guys, you cannot love me more than me. I'm the one in this race. So coming back to the fact that state policing, right, is very important. We can then know the people. We can know the criminals in our corridors. We can know the right people to go after. And then it will help us. I think it will really, really help, applying, the right approach to insecurity in Nigeria.
In
state
Nigeria.
State policing will.
If you're just joining us, welcome to Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. I'm Sharif Quadri. And we have a candidate on the platform of the YPP on the show. His name is Salako Adedayo. And he's gunning for the House of Representatives for Alimosha constituency. If you're in Alimosha, Again, I'll put the question to you. What are those things that you feel Ogadayo should push at the National Assembly, at the House of Reps, for your constituency? Now, this is why I'm asking, putting that question to you, because I'm about to ask him something very important that we should talk about. Well, we talk about it often, but let me hear his thoughts on it, right? So, what is your position on constituency project?
Well, so I've not been in politics before. I've not been a House of Rep member before. Mm. I know that there is a whole lot about constituency project oversight. There is another word they use for it. I think it's facilitate. Yeah, to facilitate this and that. But I know very well that what it's been used to actually siphon money. The so-called constituency projects, and you know, it barely affects the people of the constituency, and you know, so when we sat down with my team and we talked about this, and this same issue came up, and we're like, okay, really, we cannot point to one. I mean, that has affected Alimosho in the last 23 years of this Fourth Republic. So, for me, I don't know what it's. I don't know exactly what the amount is. I don't know how it will be implemented. But I know very well what I know 100% sure is, if I get a dime for constituency project, it will be used for
Let me assure you of something, that you're not going to get a dime. Because how it works is that the constituency project doesn't mean that you're given the project to do.
Absolutely.
What it means is you nominate a project for your constituency.
Yeah.
So the money is not coming to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the facilitating comes in. So you kind of like apply for it, and then it comes to that.
That said, what would you say is the most pressing challenge, the most pressing need of Alimosho constituency?
Wow, the whole lot. I'll say infrastructure, lack of infrastructure, and infrastructure in terms of health, okay, in terms of road networks, in terms of power, infrastructure generally. But I'll start with the health sector.
Okay.
So let's take for example, Alimosho. If you combine the Surulere, Lagos Island, Ifakojaye, Agege, and maybe two other constituency, they're not still up to Alimosho. Mm. And then the way it's been done, there is just one general hospital, which was actually one of the last to be built, you know, in Alimosho. Just one general hospital.
Okay.
And then people are dying because of lack of bed space at the general hospital. So it doesn't make sense that you put you confine, let's even say, 2 million people in a particular space, and then the same you have 300,000 people, you give them one general hospital. 2 million people, you give them one general hospital. It doesn't make sense. Alimosho should have up to 4 or 5 general hospital for it to really at least take care of the health, you know, challenges that are there, right? In terms of other things like road networks and all, Alimosho is the least in Lagos developed in terms of road networks. And
well, the things you mentioned now appears to they appear to be functions of your state government. Not your own job as House of Reps member. Like your governor is supposed to fix your roads, for instance. Your governor is supposed to, you know, build hospitals, you know, for you, for instance, in your constituency.
Yeah.
In Alimosho, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Because he's the governor of the state regardless. But I'm asking of, you know, as a would-be House of Reps member, you know, and you're asked to nominate a project for Alimosho, as your constituency project, what would that be? Which means, what could be your own assessment of the most pressing need of your constituency?
I'd said it. So I of course I know that all of this. You did ask me what are the pressing needs of Alimosho. And so that was why I mentioned that. But even at that, if I was asked to nominate a project, I think top of my head I would nominate for another general hospital in Alimosho, because it is I've seen people lose their lives. And that's the job of a government, to protect lives and properties. Right. So I would, you know, do that as a very, very
top priority
for me. And the next thing would be to call for probably like state of emergency for education in Alimosho, if I could do that. I mean, because education there is very, very, is going down the drain. I mean, I go on the street, I lived up all my adult life in that axis, and I can tell that now you go on the street, you see a young man who's not gone to school, and they're like, oh, boy, why are you not in school? Like, bros, leave that in school and has come. And then this is becoming the general talk among the young people there. So for me, I would try to do everything to improve on education. And of course, I mean, on top of my head, I told my team one day that God's willing, we'll get there. We're going to have a competition, a secondary school competition, and I'm sure that we can raise up to 10 million naira, not those ones that we give them laptop or just some sort of 10 million naira for scholarship, you know, and then call the title of the competition School No Be Scam. That would be a thing. So let's talk about education. Let's make them see the education, and let's even put the money in it. And I say this because, you know, some people will say, you're just saying this, even when you get there, you might not have the money. There are up to 10 banks in Alimosho who's been there for over 20 years. As a Federal House of Rep member, I know very well that I can walk to this bank and say, oh, guy, you have been here for 20 years. You've been here for 10 years. Give me 1 million. Give me 2 million naira. Let's put it in education. Let's encourage the students to go back to school.
Okay.
So they are priority for me. And of course, the next one will be sport. And I say this again. Look at Lagos Island. There are at least 2 stadiums. Surulere, 2 major stadiums, plus AstroTurf, built by government. Agege, 1 stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Alimosho, no stadium.
You people don't know how to play ball.
Who says? Says who? How can you confine that so much number of people in one place and then deprive them of every form of, you know, development, every form of infrastructure? So it doesn't make sense. So I mean, and that's going to be something else I also look forward to see how we can, you know, call for it to see if that can be done in Alimosho.
Let's listen to Alimosho people interact, because before the first break, Alimosho, it's your turn now. I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have a couple messages, a couple questions left for Daya this morning. So feel free.
Oh, sorry. I wanted to say that my first name is actually Ife.
Ife. Is it Ife Dayo?
Ife Oluwa, actually. The name was kept from the...
Oh, okay.
So Ife Oluwa Adedayo Salako.
So people know you by Ife?
Yeah, more pretty much. Ife and Effective.
Effective, okay. Ife and Effective. So Ife and Effective. Sorry.
All right. I mean, by way of introduction, and I sighed.
No, I was also an
personality.
Oh, really? Ah.
I did that for 11 years.
For 11 years? So you know how they pay you again.
We just have to move on to greater challenges in life. That's what it is.
I'm with you on that one. It's always good to move upwards, right?
Exactly.
It's 9:22. Let's hear from Alimosho people now. If you've got questions for Ife Effective, feel free to call in 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. Or you can just call the smart number 0700-993-993-993. Female only line is 01-465-7190. I'm going to take a few calls. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
My name is Joy.
Welcome, Joy.
Yes, I'm calling from Abilegba.
Welcome.
Okay, I know Abilegba is, we are close to Alimosho, but I believe Alimosho people, they like the way they are anyway presently. That is why they keep giving the present government a lot of votes. They don't like speed, they don't like audio.
Joy, do you have a question?
I have a question. My question is, for all the House of Rep that will be coming, if I have a chance to talk to them, what are they going to do about Agbero in Lagos and a legal way to which they actually collect money? What legislation would he actually bring on the table in respect to these Agberos we have all over the place, chasing after buses and causing problems to transporters? Thank you.
Thank you too for calling. Appreciate it. Christian is in the courtroom. All right, Christian, morning to you.
Hello, Sheriff. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How is the work?
Very well,
Salako. Good morning, bro.
Good morning, sir.
Are you feeling Sorosuke?
Yes, so Sorosuke. Ali Moshas was Sorosuke.
Yeah. Actually, I've changed my mind. Because Ali Moshas is very, very underdeveloped. I don't know why the government of Lagos overlooked Ali Moshas in such a way that no infrastructure is being looked into in Ali Moshas. I only want to wish you well in your interview.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Christian, for the call. We'll come to the Agbero's question after the break. Lagos will take this break. When we return, Daily Digest will continue. Stay here with us. Daily Digest with Jimmy Lisu is back. Jimmy is currently on vacation somewhere far, 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 far away. Uncle Jimmy, if you're listening, hi to you. I know the winter is knocking on the door right now. You have started wearing warmers and all. Just take care and enjoy the show. You see, I'm bringing you proud. It's 9:30 on the show. Ife Effective YPP gunning for House of Representatives for Alimo Shaw is in the studio. Ife, again, thank you for coming through.
I appreciate it. It's great to be in the presence of the great Sherry.
Ah, yes, it was the... No, look, so I'm going to allow... See, Ali Mosha people want to ask you questions and all, but let's attend to Joyce's question about Agbero's and all. There's this question here as well from Chike, who says, area boys are the major problems we have as business people and transporters. So let's add this to what... is that in your purview?
It's a menace. It's a Lagos menace. It's not even something that we can talk about at Limoshaw alone. So there was a time I had a conversation with a tricycle rider, and then he was complaining. I just picked it and I asked him, how much do you pay per day? And he said, 1,200 naira. I was like, is that the money you pay for like a month or a week? He said, no, Oga, one day. And I was, what? Why would you take 1,200 naira from a tricycle rider, someone who charges 15 naira, 100 naira for his trips? And so it's madness. Now, as a House of Rep member, I think I am limited in power when it comes to this, because, for example, this is something that the state itself has empowered. These guys are empowered by the states, right? Recently there was a Top Gun, one of them, who had issues with the established bodies. And then what did the state do? They created another body, non-existing body before. It was created solely for this guy to continue to operate, right? So, and of course, and when people ask me this, I do say it boldly, like, look, my job is a Federal House of Rep member. Ours is to make law. Even when we make this law, it is for the executive to implement these laws. So I would keep thinking, because I know it's a problem, I would keep looking for ways that we can work with the state to see how to, you know, curb these, you know, excesses, right? But I know very well that it's not in my jurisdiction, really, to take total control of this doubt, you know. Yeah. So even and we're talking about the transportation, the transport angle. There is also the market angle of this one, and that is actually weaponized by the local government. You know, so they have their boys who go out and do all of this. So,
It's a whole complex.
So yeah. and so for people who are listening, if you really want this to be addressed, then you should get it right at the state level. That's my first. That's our starting point.
Mm. Yeah. So I have most of my questions are federal questions because you're going to the House of Representatives, which means that you know our conversation should be at that level. But then if you're in a Limosho. He wants to represent you. If you have questions for him, feel free to throw in your own questions concerning Ali Mosho. But mine are federal. So let's move on to federal for a bit before I come to the telephone. I want to get your thought on one key issue, which is very, very important. And that issue is corruption. The federal lawmakers, most of them, we don't even know how much they earn. There being so much controversy. Some of them have come out to show us their pay slip. Is that what they call that thing? Or summary, whatever it is. You know, some haven't. It's been up and down as regards that. That's on the one hand. On the other hand is the corruption part, the main corruption part. Do you have any plan at all as a federal lawmaker in your own capacity to say this is what I'm going to do when I get into, if I get into, you know, the House of Reps, in my own little contribution towards the fight against corruption?
Yeah, so there's a lot we can do. So I'll say some of this and then I'll go back to the root cause of this corruption, because Nigerians need to know what's corruption is really about, you know. And then so when we talk about corruption, it's not invisible. We all know it, but you see in Yoruba they say oju to nshek mi omo, but you have to remove it and show it to the eyes that look. What are the things we can do? First of all, I think we should make the exact amount, the allowances that is being paid to the House of Rep. And, you know, even the Senate.
The Senate, yeah.
We should make it public. Not this man coming to say this, or someone else coming to say that, and open down. So I think we should make it, you should open the National Assembly, as it were. This has been talked, has been existing for...
God knows how long.
Yeah, you know, open the National Assembly. I know that I'm going to call for this again. And in saying this, let me also... You know, some of the questions that, you know, that I presume people may want to ask is that how will I be able to do this as a lone voice in the House, right? So I usually cite the example of the Electoral Act now, right? I know that the Electoral Act was on the table for a very long time, right? But what happened? You, the media, the civil society, brought it up. They kept hammering on it. I remember vividly that, you know, in December last year, before the resumption of the, you know, of the session for this year, the House of Rep members were invited to a live TV and they were asked on air on, you know, are you going to sign this bill? And some of them, you know, got themselves committed to it. And so the bill, you know, was passed eventually. Right? So I may be a lone voice, but I have the media. I have the civil society. I can, you know, like go through the back door and talk to the media. I see this is what we want to do. You guys make noise about this. And so it will be Ife and another 100 million Nigerians talking about this thing, and then we can probably get it done. That is one. Secondly, I have it on my website, www.ifesalako.com, and I believe strongly that now corruption should be made a capital offense.
Okay.
Anybody who steals money after being convicted should either be killed or sent to life imprisonment. And I'll tell you why. There is a case of a former a pension director in Nigeria who was accused of stealing over 2 billion naira, and then the case was put to court, and then after the trial and everything he was sentenced to 2 years and with the fine option of I think 250,000 naira. And so what that judgment does is it just only empowers other politicians to steal more. At the top of my head, I just imagine, it's not like I've seen it before, but I'd imagine that somewhere, politicians will sit down and be joking that, oh, more, if you want thief money, no thief small money, because you don't need to pay lawyer. I think that's the kind of conversation that goes on within, the political class now. So, and our laws, they are also encouraging such. So I believe that we must actually face corruption heads on. Mm. And of course, the third part will be how we can use technology to cop some of these things, because once you put technology in anything, the system is fixed. Mm. You know, it's always hard to maneuver, and, you have to be very, very, you probably have to spend more than you want to steal to, find a way. So these are the ways I believe we can actually curb corruption in Nigeria. And also I said I wanted to talk about how Nigerians weaponize corruption through election. And this is what I'm going to make a clear analogy. I had the opportunity of running on the platform of one of the so-called mega parties, but I turned it down. I know someone who knows the number one man of them all, and who was a colleague of mine for 11 years, right? She's still on radio, right? Her name is Shola Mogaji. And the Mogaji family, how strong the family is. She wanted to take me to him, but I turned it down because I know where it will end. If I go for that meeting and this man likes me and then he takes me on, and I just keep imagining what could happen. I'm in the Federal House of Rep. I have probably a 100 million to work in Alimosha, and somebody is calling me that, hey, you have to send XYZ amount to me, and I would not be able to say no. That is where the problem is. Politicians are going out right now to spend money. And I'm going to be very factual. See, I'm going for the Federal House of Rep, and I deliberately chose YPP because I'd rather contest on the YPP, spend a little I could to, print my posters and banners. You like my face, you vote for me. You like my manifesto, you read it, you like me. You like the way I sound, or you vote for me. It's fine. But I'm going to do the work and I'm going to get the vote. But here is where I'm going. I'm not going to spend, more than I could.
More than you could account for.
Mm. In this so-called mega parties, what I was told that I would look for 50 million naira to give to the Baba Sales of my constituency. And if they accept it, and then they will start taking me to the world leaders, to the local government leaders, to the youth leaders, to the women leaders, to the market leaders, and all of these settlements. And then if...
Apart from the 50 million there.
That one is for the acceptance, right? And then if I now scale through and I come up for primaries, and then I have to now save some dollars for the delegates at the primaries, and afterwards I'll have to start campaigning. So when I start campaigning, I have to spend all of this money for campaign mobilization and all agent fees and everything. So when I'm done, I probably would have spent close to 400 to 500 million to get the job of a Federal House of Rep member. And this is what they are doing right now. So this is where it gets interesting. For some of the figures, we're just talking about the salaries and allowances of the House of Rep members. For some of the figures that we've heard that the legitimate salary is 1.3 million, which was said by, the speaker. 1.3 million, right? And the constituency allowance and everything we heard, it was about 9 million naira in a month. If we take 1.3 million naira, multiply it in 4 years, it is 62.4 million naira. That is the money that you are supposed to be legitimately,
Earning.
62.4 million. Even if we multiply the constituency allowance and every all the other allowance that it is up to like 9 million naira in a month, if we put it together in 4 years, it's about 400 million naira. When you have spent 500 million to get the job that wants to pay you 62.4 million. So the people, when you're sharing the money, and this goes out to the people, the people who always ask politicians for money. So when you collect that 1,000, when you collect that 2,000 naira, when you collect that 5,000, that 10,000 naira from politicians, know that he is going to get that money back. This man is supposed to earn 62.4 million. He has spent 500 million naira. in the first 3 years, you're not going to see him in your constituency. So when I go out, people tell me, when you get there now, we'll not see you again. I said, no. It's the people who give you money when they come out to campaign to you that you don't get to see again because they have transacted. They had a transaction with you and they have gone. They're gone. They're not coming back to you. They're not going to fix your roads. They're not going to bring, you any kind of development to your constituency because they have what they have to pay back. And when they pay the 500 million back, they will now start making their own money because no free money anywhere. So we need to be ready to either continue with this existing
structure,
or we want Nigeria to develop.
Effective. Let's go to the telephone and take some calls in. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Ife is representing or planning to represent Alimosha constituency at the Federal House of Representatives. So, if you're in Alimosha, feel free to call in and ask him your questions. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yes, my name is Kingsley.
Welcome, Kingsley. Talk to me.
Calling from Jakonde. My question is that, what about we, the common workers living in Pako House? We're going to talk about that one. And if you talk about that one, I will be very happy.
Okay.
To hear that one.
Okay.
Because Agbogbo just comes, scattered in Pako for us. I want more to talk about that one.
Hold on, Kingsley. Hold on. What do you mean by living in Pako House and Agbogbo coming?
Sir, because we don't get anywhere to stay. High price of house.
Okay. Okay.
High price of house.
Okay.
We must find our place to manage ourselves for all these Pako House in Jakonde.
In Jakonde.
So that we can survive working with them.
Okay.
We will not talk about that one. I want him to talk about that one.
Okay. All right. Kingsley, let him talk about it. You heard him.
Yeah, so I mean, I understand what you're saying. For people who live in such conditions, in the first place, it's not even, it's a state of the country that will make you want to live in such a place. And so, what this kind of people, and what's his name again?
Kingsley,
what you need to know also is that these are cases that you're supposed to take to the office of your representative. In some of my findings, I realized that in developed countries, sometimes if your phone gets spoiled and you are unemployed, and of course this is a country where they have data of everybody, they know if you're employed or not, and you're unemployed, you can go to your House of Rep. Your representative,
and then
ask that, this is it, and your phone can be fixed for you, for example. So these are cases that some of the things that we would also do. I'm not sure if 98% of people living in Alimosha knows the office of the Federal House of Rep member right now. I can bet that. So what we want to do also is to make our offices available to people.
Accessible. Yeah.
And, we're going to have 11 offices in all the 11 wards of Alimosha. And then we're going to make sure we put this out there. So when people have issues like this, because that kind of doubt in those kind of places is illegal. Not like the ones that have been, empowered by the state. The ones who go to people's houses to knock on their door and say, we'll break your house, because that one is illegal. So you can bring such cases to our office, and then we'll take it up and, see what we can do about it.
Okay. All right. Let's take another call. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
From Nigeria FM.
Hello. he said effective on Nigeria FM.
From.
From. Okay. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning to the honorable.
Good morning, ma.
It's the sound.
This is Pastor Ladi.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, sir. Sorry. I'm sorry, sir.
My question to him is this. There is a popular empowerment that has been ongoing now by all these legislators. They will buy grinding machine. Thank God they've banned Okada in Lagos. Before, they will buy Okada and buy generator.
In the name of empowerment.
So what will you do differently? Because this thing has become a norm. Even those are constituency of...
They can buy wheelbarrow. and shovel and cutlass.
Sincerely speaking, when you go there, you see some obstacles. There are principalities in those places. Oh, lady honorables.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you. So what we need to do differently, I know why I'm asking this question, because it's affecting us in our own constituency too.
I can imagine.
Some people just think, they feel privileged.
I can imagine.
That you are not close. You are here. So they buy these things and share it and take pictures. Some people share jam form in the name of empowerment.
It's part
so
of
what
it.
So what we need to do different? Thank you. God bless
you. Thank you. Wale is on the line. Let's speak with Wale. After Wale, then we can put the two together. Wale, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
Yes. Sorry, I want to come from white people.
Wale, we can't hear you clearly. Can you increase the volume?
Hello. Yes. I want to speak with the person that come from white people.
Oh, yeah, no.
Hello, Wale. Ife is my name and I'm here.
Hello. Sorry. I just want to arrive because I wanted to tell you my...
Oh, Wale.
That I know about the white people. I support the YPC.
Wale, I'm really sorry. I have to discontinue with the call. It's not clear at all. Well, thanks for trying, though. Appreciate. Now, let's talk about Basaladipo's question. What would you do differently?
Empowerment. These are the things that the so-called... You see, the word empowerment for me is almost, permit me to say, bastardized by the political class, you know, because they make it seem like there is one that I know that gives maybe 500 naira to some women every now and then, and you know, so it's madness. But what can we do differently? We know very well that we would eventually get some funds for empowerment, you know, because we know that usually, but we would try to make sure that we use it to empower people the right way, because the best way to empower people is to empower what they are doing, right? So and then we looked at it and we said, how can we do this in a way that will be different? Can we get people bringing your proposals? You want to do a business, you want to start a business, bring in your proposals. So we would have a period for submission of proposals, which we will make public, you know, bring in your proposals for, and then we'll have a team.
How about those who can't write proposals?
We're coming to that.
Okay.
You know, we'll access it, and then we'll look at what works and what doesn't work, and then we'll call back and then see how we can empower people. Because when you empower someone, that person is supposed to be able to empower five other people. And that is where development comes from. It's not when you just buy a raw lotter and gives it to the woman that has a raw lotter, and then Nancy just probably change the lotter or probably sell it. I mean, part of the ones that he talked about, I saw some of them. They were sold by the party members that they were, because it did even go to the city, you know. So I mean, that's on one side. But for the grassroots people that you're talking about, I mean, you also look at it that we can. All they need is some sort of amount of funds to put into their small scale business. A whole lot of these women go to wet Yoruba, the call in the Yoruba circle, that Komule Lanta, you know, the microfinance.
Oh, that's what it's called. Okay.
Yeah, the strangling microfinance companies to get loans, and then these people take almost their business, you know, out because of these loans that they've taken. So what we can do is, we're already doing that. We're engaging the hairdressers, the tailors, the market women. So we're engaging them at different levels. And of course, so we know that we can lay our hands on good money. I've seen a House of Rep member who got about a billionaire. And then what did they do? They went to the markets and they were sharing 5,000 naira to market women. If we get a billionaire for empowerment, this is what we can do. We know very well that if we put 100,000 naira into anybody's hand, even me, I'm here now, I'm contesting. If anybody gives me 100,000 naira, I'll say, I've a bow. You know, but I mean, I'm just saying, like,
if we put
100,000 naira into their markets, right, it will go a long way. And to put it in perspective, for a billionaire, if we're going to give market people 100,000, we're going to give, out of a billion, we're giving 10,000 people in if you're going to truly give, you know, empower with a billionaire 10,000. If we have just 100 millionaire, we can empower up to 8,000 people. You know, and then of course, so these are the things that we know we can do differently. But even at the higher level, we are also planning to make sure we have a tech hub in Alimosho. This is not something I intend to even push to the executive. This is something I also think that as a House of Rep member, we can use our creativity within to bring in such into Alimosho and let it develop.
If we have to go now, but I need to read a message from Dr. Cornell in Unilag, who says, Dr. Cornell says, I don't stay in Alimosho, but I have known Honorable for over 15 years, and I want to say to those that truly want to give the youth the opportunity to lead this country to trust effective. He's hardworking, resourceful, and trustworthy young man.
Thank you, Doctor.
Dr. Cornell, thank you for the vote of confidence. Honorable is hearing you. do you think that people should be calling you Honorable yet?
I don't. I tell them. That's why I've not mentioned it. I'd rather you call me Ife. So if I get there and it's the right thing to call, if it's official.
Yeah.
For me to be addressed as honorable when I get to the House of Rep, I won't mind. But right now I tell them, please, you don't have to call me honorable. Yeah. Because again, it has been bastardized. All the honorables, they don't have
honorable. Let's be going.
Off your mic.
If thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Sherry.
We wish you best of luck in your endeavors. And honestly, I wish that more youths can come out and throw their hat in the ring and say, I want to vie for this. We need people like you, young, industrious, you know, very, very hardworking people like you, young people like you to come out, you know, and vie for offices. No, we have to go. No, we have to go. If ever, bye-bye. That's the Daily Digest on the show today. Lagos, I am Sherif Quadri. I'll be back on your radio tomorrow at 5 a.m. Have a fantastic day. Bye for now.